Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Thank you, God, for this this precious time together, Lord. Thank you that we can just go into the Word and just enjoy it, Lord. Thank you that you have a message on your heart for us, and that you want to really get to know us, and for us to get to know you. Thank you for the privilege to just share this, and yeah, thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Amen. So, welcome to each and every one of you, and yeah, just awesome to start the year off. And every time when you come to church for the first time in the year, there's like this expectation of what's going to happen this year. What's the big thing that God has on His heart, or what's the next thing? What's the theme for the year? What's happening? I want to share with you tonight that nothing new. Nothing new, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it was really awesome this time in the week when we, as leadership and as staff, were just spending time together and just focusing and just planning for the year. And we literally said, we're not doing anything different. We're going to do what we do better and more and further and wider, but we're not going to do anything new. Because God is awesome. The good news is true. And grace is alive. And what a privilege to just know that and to enjoy that. So with that, we are, with the new year, starting a new series. And the new series, as you can see behind me, is Knowing God. It's based on Daniel 11:32b, the second part of the verse, which says, "The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." Now, I'll show you now why there's nothing new this year. Because you want to do strong things and you want to do great exploits. I want to. So, I'm not going to condemn you for wanting to. Don't worry about that. The thing is, we don't focus on being strong and doing great exploits. The scripture clearly states that we should know God. And the people who know their God shall be strong. And the people who know their God will do great exploits. So, what's new this year? This year, nothing is new because God is the same. Maybe for you, there will be a new revelation of God. The way you see Him, the way you know Him, the way you relate to Him. But that's new for you. That's not new for God. Because God's always been the same. God's always been good and strong and faithful and loving and caring and merciful and righteous. But we want to be strong and do great exploits. And the world wants to as well. I mean, Facebook was just crazy. And I don't know, anyone and everyone that's got your email, sent you an email between the 1st and the 5th of January, with this is what's going to happen this year, and this is what you need, and this project, and this training, and this and that. And because obviously the world is hungry for the answer. The world is hungry to do strong things and do mighty exploits. But they focus on the fruit. And tonight I want to give you the good news that we don't need to focus on the fruit. We can focus on the root, and the root is God. Let's get to know God, and as the scripture says, then we will be strong, and then we will do great exploits. So it's effortless, because it's fruit-based. It's not work-based. If I need to be strong, I need to go to the gym. Okay? And then I'm strong, and next week I need to lift more to be stronger, and lift more to be stronger. With God, He says, just get to know Me, and you'll be strong. There's no stronger, because you'll just grow in that. You'll be strong, as strong as God, because God is in you, because Christ is in you, and He's always the same. The problem is, which God do you know? The scripture says, know God. So that means you need to know Him for who He really is. You can't just know a God or a picture of God. If you don't know God for who He is, you won't be strong and you won't do great exploits. If I tell you, get to know Me, and you hear about from my wife who I am, and you hear from this guy and that guy, and you might hear a few bad things, but do you really know Me? If you read a book about someone, do you know that person? Or have you read a book about that person? Get to know God for who He is, and you will do strong and great and mighty things for Him. The problem is that the picture that the world knows about our God is skewed. It's wrong. It's incorrect. Not all of it, but definitely I would say most of it. Who is God for the world? The God of Christianity. Are they coming to Him a father of love, a good God, or they go looking for that answer, that peace, in all the other places. What is God that you know, and what does he have for you? Christianity and religion, in broad sense, has messed up millions of Christians' view of God and who he really is. The picture we portray to the world as Christianity as a whole is not very attractive. I don't blame the world sometimes for not wanting to come to this God who's just going to take your money, make you serve, and watch for every wrong turn that you make. I don't know about you, but I'm out. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun. I'm like, then I'd rather know I'm out than I'm not going to try and be in and out. But the problem is, when your view of God is distorted, your life will be distorted. Because Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So Jesus is life, the true life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. I want to say it like this. If you have the wrong Jesus, you have the wrong life. If you have a distorted view of God, you will have a distorted life, because God is the very essence of life. He's the one that breathed life into you. So if you understand what he breathed into you, you can relate to him, you can enjoy him, and you can live the way he planned for you, which is strong and doing mighty exploits. But we're not focusing on that. We're focusing on who God is. Daniel 11:32, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. So we said, that's a pretty awesome scripture. I mean, that's a key to success. That's a key to life, actually. What do you want to do to be strong and do mighty, great exploits? Now, let's just pause and say, what does it mean to be strong? It's strong to bench 120. I don't know what the guys bench these days. I remember from rugby days. That's a strong guy. He benches 160. But he cries like a baby when he doesn't fall asleep at night. Or is he really that strong? So what is your definition of strong? The word strong, I went and looked it up. Now, this is a specific Hebrew word. It means powerful in influence, authority, resources, or means of prevailing or succeeding. Powerful in influence, authority, resources, by means of prevailing or succeeding. So that is, if you really know God, you will be powerful in influence, you'll have authority, you'll have enough resources, and you'll have the means of prevailing and succeeding. That sounds pretty good. But we don't focus on being strong. We focus on God. And the scripture says, then we will be strong. Much easier than going to the gym, isn't it? Then we will do great exploits. Now, you need to be strong to do great exploits. The word exploit is a striking or notable deed, a bold or daring feat, a spirited or heroic act. Okay, so if you really know God, you will be strong and you will be able to do a striking or notable deed, a bold or daring feat, a spirited or heroic act. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I wish I stepped up and did the hero thing. But maybe I didn't. Why? Because I didn't know God the way he is. If I knew God the way that he really is, in that instance, I would have stepped up. Because God would have stepped up. And God is in me. So there's no condemnation if you didn't. Just go and get to know God and prepare yourself for the next time. You see, with God, there's no condemnation. It's only good things. I don't know about you, but if we're at a place where we get the key, the secret to being strong and doing great exploits for God, it's a good place to start the year. Because this year we can go and get to know God and be strong and do great exploits. And then it will be a good year. It all flows from your view of God. What do you know about God? What do you believe about God? What is your picture of God? Because if it's wrong, then you're not going to be as strong as you can be. And you're not going to do as many great exploits as you can do. Because God has good plans for you for 2017. Not for someday, for now. You don't have to wait till the end of the year to see what God has planned for you. Ask him now. The word says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will show you the desires of your heart. Again, go praise and worship, enjoy God, and he gives you the desires of your heart. See, God works a bit different than I think most of us or most of the world thinks he does. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, who's God that you would want to delight in him? If you really know who God is, you won't but delight in him. Awesome Father, loving Savior, provider, healer, the one that loves me, and you, and you, and you, but he loves me personally. He enjoys spending time with me. He doesn't want to keep my sins against me. He doesn't. If you want to be like God, forget about your sin. Hebrews says that God no longer remembers your sins and iniquities. If you want to be like God, forget about your sin. Know that God. Enjoy him. When we see God for who he really is, it causes faith to rise up in us to do what God says we can do. Galatians 5:6 says, "For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love." Okay, so faith is this concept of Christianity. Like if you understand faith, that guy's a man of faith, or he's done good things or great things for God because he's a man of faith. What is faith? How does it work? It works by love. Not me that says it, it's the scripture. It's faith works through, by, with love. Now where do we get that love? 1 John 4:8 says, "But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So how does faith work? Faith works by love. Love is God. So faith works by God. So if you get to know God, your faith will work. If you don't know God, your faith won't work. And if you don't know God as love, your faith also won't work. But if you love and know God as love, your faith will work. And if your faith works, then you can do great things. You can be strong and you can do mighty exploits. Because you're going to need faith to do it. Because the natural way is a long way. The faith way works a bit different. Ask Joseph, from prison to president in a day. His faith worked. He knew God as love. How does your faith work? By the picture you have of God. Now, sounds nice. Nice banner. Know God. Secret to the universe. But how? How do we get to know God? How do we get to know God? There's an answer for you. Hebrews 1:3, the ERV says, "The Son shows the glory of God. He is a perfect copy of God's nature, and he holds everything together by his powerful command. The Son made people clean from their sins. Then he sat down at the right-hand side of God, the great one in heaven." So how do we get to know God? We look at the perfect copy, the image of that he gave us. We look at Jesus. See, Jesus is the manifestation of God's love. The Bible calls it the Son of his love. So the very reason that there was a Son is because of love. It still works like that. Ask the married folk. When there's love, there's fruit. God had so much love in him that he birthed a son. And that son, the very essence, the very reason for that was love. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. So how do we know God? We look at the picture that he sent us. The picture is Jesus. The Bible in basic English, that scripture says, "Being the outshining of his glory, the true image of his substance." I love that. The outshining of his glory. So God is glory. The goodness of God is the glory of God. God wanted to show us that because he's like, "I don't think you understand me. You read the law and I don't think you get who I am. I never wanted to give you the law, but that's a different story. We can go into that later in the series." God is a God of love. And he sent his son to show us what his will, what his heart is, what he looks like. Not physically, but what he does. The leper comes to Jesus and he says, "Heal me." And Jesus says, "Do you think I want to?" And he says, "If you will." "Do you think I can?" He says, "If you will, you can heal me." Jesus says, "I will. Go and be healed." What's the will of God regarding healing? Look at Jesus. Jesus went into the town and healed everyone. Yet we say, "Yeah, maybe healing is for him. Maybe I still need to learn a lesson or two." Well, we laugh about it, but that's the picture of God out there. Do you know God, the healer, who comes and says, it is my will to heal? Look at a woman in how many guys she's had, and he says, go, your sins are forgiven. That's the picture of God. That's the picture of Jesus. That's who he is. He came and said, my life is poured out for you. My blood, a new covenant. Why? Go read Hebrews again. It says that God found fault with the old covenant. Wow, I'm so glad he did. Because otherwise all of you would have come here with your doves, your pigeons, your lambs, and we'll have a slaughter party. And tomorrow morning when you get up, you'll be a sinner again. Because Jesus is different. One sacrifice for sin, for everyone, forever. Hebrews 10. Remember what I said, if you want to be more like God, forget about your sin. Why? Because Jesus is the outshining of his glory, the true image of his substance. What is substance? I love the word. Substance is who you really are. We will say, Angelo is a guy of substance. What does that mean? It means he's not going to just fall over, because who he is strong. His true identity. What's the substance of this? It's wood. Jesus said, he came to show us the substance, the essence of who God is. Not who the world says that he is, not what the religion or Christianity says that he is, who he really is. And what did that look like? Healings, multiplication, deliverance, forgiveness of sins. You might think that God is out there for you to serve him. Jesus said, again, Jesus, the picture of God, I came to serve, not to be served. I came to destroy the works of the devil. I came so that you might have life and have it to the full. That is God, because Jesus shows us what the essence, what the substance of God is. If we have seen Jesus, we have seen the Father, John 14:9. The disciples saw Jesus and they said, show us the Father. Jesus said, why? You've seen him. Because if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because I only do what the Father does, John 5:19. So if the Father was here, it would look the same, he would do the same. Because remember, I'm an image, I'm a copy, I'm an outflowing of his substance. That's who I am. I'm not here to represent myself, I'm here representing my Father. That's what an ambassador does. You are an ambassador for Christ. So your will is to heal everyone. Your will is to show everyone that their sins are forgiven. Your purpose is to show the world that God has reconciled the world to himself, that sin is no longer imputed, that the law is over and done with. Go into all the world and share the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is not the Bible. The gospel is in the Bible. But the gospel is the good news part. The gospel is the Jesus part. The freedom part. The who God really is part. The true nature of God. The loving Father who gave his Son so that none shall perish, but all can come to repentance. New life. Jesus breathed out his life on the cross so we can breathe it in. Have you breathed in Jesus? Not Christianity, not religion. Have you breathed in Jesus? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if you have, you will be a new creation, a new creature, not a new human being, if you've noticed. Something new, something more. Something more like God. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. And he is alive inside of you. Now, in this life, Paul writes and he says, he ran the race and he ran a good race. Now think about a race. A race in the Olympics is run around a track. Just like the earth goes around the sun every 12 months, we run a race. And that race has laps. And one way we can see how we're doing is lap time. And that's where the year comes in. So at the end of the year, it's a good time to maybe just pause and sit back and Your boss is not going to phone you and you get time to Facebook like you don't the rest of the year, but anyway. And you can think about the year and think about what happened. Was it a good year? Was it a bad year? Was it a nothing year? That's something I heard, was a nothing year. Was an intense year. Now, it's not about the year. It's just about taking stock of where you are, where you're going. If you want to do it monthly, weekly, daily, that's your thing. But Paul wrote about this race, and I like to think about every year as a lap. Now, it's not to say that you've done the lap, the race is over. No, you're still in the race, but just see how was your lap time. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore seeing, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us." So this is not where I'm going to tell you to lose 15 kilograms because the Bible says so, because it's January. No. It says, lay aside every weight. Lay aside everything that hinders you in this race. Because there's a race for you, and I cannot run your race. You cannot run my race. You run your own race. Because God has a plan for you. Yes, God has a plan for me. But He's got a plan for you. He's got a race for you. He's got something for you to do. And that's something you will find when you get to know Him for who He really is. Now, how do we run this race? Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why do we look to Jesus? Because then we know who God really is. Then we see Him for the love that He is, and then our faith starts working. And then, when we know who God is, we'll live strong lives, and we'll do mighty exploits. And you'll run a good race. But if you run, and you look to the crowd, and you look to your feet, and you maybe look to your shoes, which is worn, you won't live in faith. Because you won't know who God is. But when you run the race and you look to Jesus, He is the author and the finisher of your faith. So He didn't just give you some faith and say, there you go. You've got enough faith until you finish. Jesus, for one, is one, let's call it guy, who finished his race. He hung on the cross and He said, it is finished. So He knows about finishing. It's easy to start the year. Easy to start a new project, but finish it. It's godly. Again, Jesus said, it is finished. And it was so. Look unto Jesus and run this race of 2017. Focus on Him. And then you run 2018. Focus on Him. 2019, 2020. Because God is the same. He is love. And Jesus will forever be the picture of who God really is. The express image of His being. The picture of His substance. Look unto Him. When we focus on Him, our faith is built up and completed. Remember, finished. And we will accomplish what God intends for us to do. If you follow Jesus, you follow the right race. You won't turn off on the wrong side. I remember my brother was a bit more athletic, let's still call it that, than what I was. And they ran a race, or we ran a race, like in Hans Bay. And it's like over New Year's, 5Ks. And he and my nephew, they went off. And they were like flying, and I'm coming behind. And somehow, they took a wrong turn. And I finished before them. Oh, and I loved it. I loved it so much. And they had so many excuses, and this rate per kilometer, and this is how fast they ran, and like, I don't care. I finished before you. If you look to Jesus, you will run your race. No wrong turns. And when people say, yeah, but you didn't study as hard, I remember. Like, yeah, fine. I've got favor. I've got Jesus. Yeah, but yes, you don't work the hours that everyone else does. Yeah, I know. I've got Jesus. So think about that. Look to Him. Let He decide what is success in your life. Not the world. Remember, the picture of the world and the picture that the world has of God is skewed. So you're going to have a skewed life if you follow that. God is inside of you. He is with you. He is the hope of glory inside of you. When we are not focused on Jesus and seeing who He is, we do not run correctly and we will not finish our course. So look to Jesus, otherwise you're going to make a wrong turn. You won't be strong. And you won't carry out great exploits. You might do a few good things. You might do a few great things. But you're not going to reach your destiny if you're not looking at Jesus. Because He's already there. The Word says, I go in front of you. I go and prepare a place for you. Now, we want to know God because we want to be strong and we want to do great exploits. So we want to know God and we want to see who He is, so we're going to look at Jesus. But if I say, go and get to know Haley, and you need to go and get to know Haley, you need to find Haley. So now I'm telling you tonight, go and find out who God is. So you need to go and find God. Now you need to know where to find Him. Okay, Grace Life is a good place to start, but tomorrow you're going to have to read the devotional and you want to need some more than that. So where do you find God? Yes, He's inside of you. I agree. Thank you for all the answers. He's in some churches, I would say. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us then approach God. So I want to get to know Haley, so I need to approach her. Now guys, students, if you want to get to know a girl, I don't know how it works anymore, I'm married. Happily, but I wanted to get to know Natasha. I had to approach her and get her number. So I had to find her, approach her, and ask her for her number. So where do you find God? According to Hebrews 4:16, God is seated on the throne of grace. That's His address. So if you're going to go look for God on the throne of judgment and punishment, you're not going to find Him. If you're going to go look for God on the throne of the law, He's not there. If you're going to go look for God on the throne of religion and service, He's not there. Where do you find God? On the throne of grace. Wow, that's beautiful. Where do you find God? And guess what? What is a throne? A throne is where you sit and when you have dominion and authority. So God is not there for a moment, and if you miss it, you miss Him. No, He's there, seated, not going anywhere. So if you don't find Him today, and grace is new for you, tomorrow He's still going to be there. Seated on the throne of grace. Not judgment, not punishment. See, God found fault with the old. Because why doesn't grace? He's not finding fault with the new. So He's not going anywhere. He's not changing anything. He's content. Because Jesus said it's finished, because He finished it on our behalf. We cannot receive mercy and grace to empower us to do what we're called to do without coming to God. Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What do you need in your time of need? Mercy and grace. I know it because I went through times of need and I know that's what got me out of that. But it's not just me that says it, it's the Scripture. So you come to God and you put up a mighty voice or a holy voice. Some people, when they give you a voice note, you're like, I wish you would speak to me like that in person. It's just a different tone. It's actually nice. I think if we get to God, He just wants you to be real. Thou art holy one. And then you're like, I come to receive. And like God said, I knew. I know. God, the Word says that He knows what you want before you ask Him. So you can't trick Him. He knows you're coming to receive. That's why He created the supply. So He says, even though you're coming to receive, come boldly. Come confidently. Like, Dad, I need some. Dad, the boys are going out tonight. I need some. Dad, the month is getting long. I mean, it's January. In your time of need, come boldly to God. Find Him on the throne of grace. Find mercy and find grace to help you. Why? Because that's who God is. That's not what He's trying to be. That's not His act. That's the substance of who He is. That's the substance of love. The substance of real love is not receiving, it's giving. When you come to a Grace Life wedding, you'll hear, outgive, outserve, outlove, expecting nothing in return. Why? That's godly love. The essence of who God is found in love. Come boldly to receive with confidence to find mercy and grace in our time of need. Where do you find mercy and grace? With God. So in your time of need, just go to God. In your time when it goes well, go to God. Because then you get to know grace, so when there's a time of need, you know where to go. Because you build that trust relationship with Him. You see God as love, so you know He's looking out for you. You know He's got good in store for you. And then when things go bad, you know where to go. You know where to receive. If you get a phone call at 12 at night, when someone is in panic, that person trusts and knows you enough that you're going to help them. That's why they phone you. Of all the numbers on their phone, that's why they phone you. Because they know you. Do you know God enough to phone Him? Is your in case of emergency on your phone God? We trust in the world sometimes a whole lot more than in God. I'd rather phone one of you to come and pray for me than phone an ambulance. It's for free. And it's going to work. And it's going to work. That's the awesome thing about a godly community. Okay, so you can come boldly to receive. Now, if you want to get to know someone, you need to start at the start. If you read an autobiography or a biography of someone, it starts at the start and then it takes you through their life story. So with God, we don't know right at the start, but the furthest we can go is Genesis. Because it says, in the beginning was God. And like, okay, I don't know how that works, but He was there. So the first thing we know about God is Genesis. Okay, so who's the God of Genesis? The God of Genesis, isn't He the one that kicked Adam out and cursed Eve? And not really. Let's look at it. There was two trees in the garden. There was many trees in the garden. There was two specific trees in the garden. The one was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The one was the tree of life. Okay. It's like two covenants. Knowledge of good and evil is the law. The tree of life is grace. Couldn't Adam have just made a better decision? You see, the snake came and he said, do you want to be like God? You're not like God as much as you think you are. Yet God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And then He did. God is not a liar. So when He said, I'm making man in my image and likeness, He did. But what the snake planted in their hearts was like, God is a God of good and evil. God is a God of the law. God is a God of yes and no, right and wrong, light and darkness. That's not who God is. God is a God of life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yet they wanted to be more like the God they thought. And they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now the tree of life was still there. If they were to go and eat of the tree of life in their fallen sinful state, they would have lived forever in a fallen sinful state. Meaning they would be sick, they would be lonely, they would be depressed, yet they would never die. I don't know about you, but I want to run this race to the full. And I want to die and go be with the Lord. I don't want to be here forever because my mansion up there is a lot bigger than down here. So what did God really do? He protected them by taking them in a fallen state by their own choice. God did not force feed them. They took the fruit and they ate of it, full willingly what they were doing by themselves. Yet God said, I want to protect you. I'm going to make a new plan. That new plan is Jesus. But that plan is going to take a while. And then I'm going to give you life eternal. But for now, let's protect you from the tree of life. Until I put you from a fallen state into a reconstructed being, a new creation, and then you can live forever. So he sent them out lovingly. He didn't chase them out. The picture that we have is like God coming with a stick and shouting and screaming, maybe with dogs, and there goes Adam and Eve. See Nate Feyerblader and that's not God of Genesis. They again made themselves cloves of fig leaves, the stupidest thing I could think of. God came, make them clothes of animal skins, genuine leather, full leather uppers, for free. What does the God of Genesis look like for you? Sending them out of the garden was an act of mercy and grace. God never left Adam and Eve. They went and they hid from him. God still came like he did every day. Man, where are you? He knew they sinned, yet he came looking for them and called out for them and reconciled and covered their shame and their nakedness. And then to protect them, put them out of the garden. Cain, the first murderer, was pardoned before the law because sin cannot be imputed and judgment not passed if there is no law against it. You look at the story of Cain. God protected Cain, the first murderer. And then Cain left God's presence. God didn't abandon him. It was Cain's own choice. The first son, literally, not Adam, but his first son, murdered his brother. Yet God still came to him, looking for him, protecting him. God's heart has always been one of mercy and grace. God has forever been a loving father. God is not the author of tragedies and temptations and hard knocks in your life. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." If you look at the translation, Jesus says, "I came to give you life, Zoe life, the true life, the fullness of God life, and I give you abundance." The very essence of Zoe life cannot be more abundant. You cannot have it more abundantly, for if you have it, it is more abundantly. It's like God. You cannot have a bit of God. You have everything. But God sent his son, Jesus, so that we might have life. Not death. Life. Jesus didn't come and just pick flowers and your time is done. Toop, toop, toop. No, he came to give us life. The scripture says that the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Not God. 2 Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." If you want to know God, you want to know the will of God. Now, that's a religious term, and it's almost like put on this level that it's almost spooky and untouchable. What is the will of God, brother? The will of God is in the Word. The Word says, "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's the will of God. God's will is not that you should perish, that no one should perish. But what about the sinner? What about Hitler? God's will is that no one shall perish. What about Stalin? God's will is that no one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should become new creations. That all should receive and bank the check of their payment for their sins. That's the will of God. That's who he is. God's will was for Jesus to pay and die for your sins so that you would not have to pay and die for your own sins. I'm going to read it again. What's the will of God? The will of God is for Jesus to have paid for your sins so that you would not have to pay and die for your own sins. How can I say that? Jesus prayed in the garden. He said, "God, not your will, not my will, but your will be done." What was the will of the Father? That Jesus would die and pay for my sins and your sins so that we don't have to. That's the will of God. Jesus enacting the will of God, showing us your sins are paid for. John 3:16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is called the Son of His love. The scripture clearly states us it's the only Son. So God only has a Son of love. There's no Son of judgment. There's no younger brother, middle child syndrome that's around the corner with God. There's one Son, and He's the Son of love. He was born out of love, because God loves you. Why did Jesus come? For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. What did Jesus do? He showed us who God is. What did Jesus do? He saved us. He's the Savior because of love. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected. Who's God? Do you know God? Do you know the God that has good plans for you? Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Sorry. The ERV says, I say this because I know the plans that I have for you. This message is from the Lord. I have good plans for you. I don't plan to hurt you. I plan to give you hope and a good future. God does not plan to hurt you. Please take that to heart tonight. Not to make you better, not to break you down to build you up again, not to change you, not to get you to where He wants you. God has no plan, no intention to hurt you. No growth pains. No hurt. Because in Jesus you're complete. He's got good plans for you, not to hurt you, to give you hope and a good future. What does God want for you for 2017? That's what He wants for you. Good things. No hurt, hope, and a good future. That's God's heart for you. That's who He really is. That's His essence for you. In closing, 1 John 4:8. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's who He is, the very essence of His being. Galatians 5:6 says, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. How does faith work? Faith works by God, because God is love. Do you see God as love? If you don't, go and look for it. It's all in the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Very key part there. Yes, you can go read about Job, and if you don't divide the book of Job even, you'll have a misrepresentation of who God is. That's why Bible school, life groups, all those things are awesome. Sunday services. You need to read and learn to divide the word. Why? Because if you read the Bible and it doesn't show you that God approves of you, you're not rightly dividing. 2 Timothy 2:15 does not say, go read the Bible, so God sits there with a stopwatch. And then you're like, oh, yesterday was a bit longer, but anyway, let's write that down. That's the picture we have of God sometimes. Like, okay, it's 5 a.m. No, she's still asleep. Let's write that down. 5:05. No. When you read the Word, when you read the Bible, God wants to show you that He's approved of you because of Jesus and He loves you. And He's like wanting to shake you and say, you need to know this. I am love. I am the loving Father. I've already sent my Son to pay for your sins. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is holding us back on this race we call life. Let's forget about sin for 2017 and let's think about Jesus. Let's look unto Him. Let's run this race with patience. If you know God as love, your faith will work because faith works by love. When we have an understanding of the nature of God, it will give us confidence in the goodness of God. And when you know that God is good, you'll come boldly, confidently, to receive grace. Because where's God? On the throne of grace. So it means grace has a reigning sovereignty power over it. Romans 5:17 backs that up. When you find grace, you found power, authority. Because that's where God is. You will have a better relationship with God and you'll have confidence to step out in faith and do what he has called you to do. Daniel 11:32, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Thank you, Father, that we can just accept this invitation to get to know you even better. Thank you that who you are is hope and love and truth and goodness, Lord. Thank you that you have life and that you've given us that life for free. Thank you for your word, Father, and thank you just for the ability. Thank you for Holy Spirit that's just helping us and guiding us into all truth, that we will learn to rightly divide the word of truth, Lord, that we will see that we are accepted, approved, paid for because of your goodness, because of your love. Thank you that it's a done deal, that no matter what we do, that's not going to change that. That we are sealed with your Holy Spirit of promise. That we are protected. That we are forever yours. Thank you that you never leave us, never forsake us, no matter what we do. Thank you that you don't see us as sinners, because that's not who we are. If we've received you, we've received your Son. And we're all the way there with you. Ephesians 2:6 says that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. But that is if you've received him. If you've breathed him in. I want to just give an opportunity. If there's anyone here who might have gone to church a lot, might have even been in church your whole life. But ask yourself, have you breathed in Jesus? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Have you banked your check for the payment for your sins? If you haven't, you can just indicate, raise your hand. We're not going to ask you to come forward or anything. I want to just give you that opportunity to bank that check tonight. To just make sure. If there's no one here, I just want to also just minister to you that God's love is so real. And his plans for you are not to have any hurt, nor any sickness, nor any lack. God says, I've got good plans for you, not to hurt you, but to give you hope and a future. Just chase those symptoms away, because they're not from God, so they're not welcome, because you're godly. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Don't look at the lack. Don't even think you deserve it. Maybe even symptoms, you think you deserve it because you picked up something too heavy or you went out in the cold. Or no, you don't deserve any of it because Jesus took it. Jesus paid for it. Maybe you spent all your money in December. Yes, it wasn't wise, but God still provides. His grace is more than enough. Thank you, Father, that we can just trust that we'll have more than enough at the end of the month. We'll have more than enough for every day that we need. Thank you for your provision that is paid, that is done, that is dusted. Thank you that we can live in victory because of who you are. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.